Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is high. It is far. It is gone.
There's no better way to celebrate your favorite MLB team than by visiting Baseballism, the official lifestyle brand of baseball. Baseballism specializes in apparel for men, women, and children, and now offers officially licensed MLB team apparel. For a limited time, get 15% off your next order by using the code PODCAST at checkout. Shop now at Baseballism.com or visit Baseballism San Francisco on the corner of King and 3rd. Baseballism is America's brand.
It's the Bomber Brothers Podcast with Ryan and Sean Chichester.
Swung on and driven to deep left. Toward the line. She is gone. Aaron Judge lined one right down the line. Swung on and lined to right center field. It is a base hit. Grounding third. Scoring Kiner Falefa. And the Yankees win the ballgame with two in the bottom of the ninth.
Hit in the air to left center. It is high.
It is far. It is gone. It's a grand slam. Oh, a Stantonian home run.
Talking all things Yankees baseball.
Welcome, everybody. We've got another episode of the Bomber Brothers Podcast. Sean and Ryan Chichester here, as always, recapping another series, which we do every series. So if you want to hear series recaps and series previews all throughout the Yankee season, make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. Also, bringing on some exciting guests whenever we can, but Sean, just us today, so we can banter about what was, like you just called it before we hit record, a pretty interesting series. And I would definitely agree. I mean, if you really think about it, the Yankees got kind of dominated for, you know, in a four game series, I'd say they were dominated for, you know, 32, 31 of the 36 or 37 innings. Like, the Yankees were looking like the inferior team for a lot of this series, yet somehow they split, and they certainly didn't do their best at the plate. And we have to talk about the Yankees getting no hit, which we haven't had to do in what, almost two decades. But I don't know, just like looking back and reliving these games, it's kind of incredible to me that they split this series, but here they are coming out with two out of four against a Houston team that many expect to be the Yankees' top competition for getting to the World Series.
I think it's funny and an expected talk track that everybody's saying, like, oh, the Yankees got lucky and, you know, they didn't deserve to win the first game. The second game, they were getting no hit, you know, for again that they won. And I don't really look at it that way. I think Sweetie pointed out a great stat. The four game series, the Yankees bullpen allowed two runs. The Astros bullpen allowed nine runs. I mean, the Yankees have a better bullpen, and it doesn't matter if you score your runs in the first inning or in the ninth inning with two outs, they all count at the end of the game. So I don't think the Yankees got lucky by having DJ LeMahieu hit a two run homer in the eighth inning yesterday, or having Hicks hit a three run homer in the ninth inning on Thursday. That's just when the Yankees are going to do their damage against a team that has a good rotation. And I mean, at the same time, like, you know, the Yankees had more base runners in the 3-1 game on Friday night. I don't think the Yankees got outplayed like some people are making it seem like they did against Houston. I think the Yankees just, their runs came at more dramatic times in their two wins, I would say. Now, obviously, you don't want to get no hit. That's not great. But the last three times the Yankees have been no hit, they've went to the World Series in that year. So maybe it's actually a blessing in disguise. Not the most, not the largest sample size, I'd say. But overall, I mean, I think you look at these games are how the Yankees are constructed to win, hitting home runs. Like, you know, they went down 3-0 in the first game and you're like, oh, this is terrible. You know, this is a huge series. And all of a sudden Houston comes out and really hits them in the mouth. And then, you know, they answer right back. Giancarlo comes up with a 3-run homer and then they have the dramatic 9th inning in the first game. But, you know, it doesn't really matter when you score your runs as long as you score them. So I don't think the Yankees got lucky. It's not like they had like a crazy amount of breaks. They just made their hits really count.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. This is two teams who both have great lineups and they both have great starting pitching. But like you said, the advantage is certainly slanted in the Yankees' favor when it comes to the bullpen, and they flex that throughout this four-game series. I think there was definitely a stretch of this series where the Yankees did look like a somewhat inferior team, and that's going to happen if you don't get any hits for 16 straight innings. So that was definitely getting a little frustrating, but I think it's also a tribute to what we've said about this team for much of the season, is that they're just able to find new ways to win. So certainly one of those ways is, you know, biding your time and waiting to break out when you're laboring through 16 straight hitless innings, and then you get Stanton with a home run. It seems like he's starting to come around again, which is huge for the Yankees. He was in a little bit of a slump, but he's had a couple home runs and another big one on Sunday. And then LeMahieu with the huge home run in the eighth inning. And I actually loved that LeMahieu home run. He kind of did like the Giancarlo strut out of the batter's box, which I thought was amazing because it's DJ LeMahieu. But that was fantastic. Just a huge moment. And then of course, Judge, I mean, just coming off the heels of settling his arbitration and thankfully not having to go through a hearing that would have been potentially disastrous, but coming out of that and having two walk-off hits in this series, that's pretty incredible. So yeah, the Yankees, they found ways to win. Like you said, just because it came later in the game doesn't mean they were necessarily the inferior team. They just pounced and you know, exposed the Astros' most glaring weakness, which is their bullpen, and completely outplayed them in that category.
Yeah, I mean, and I also think the depth and the power in the Yankees lineup, really, the fact that they can get power from almost any spot in their lineup, save IKF, it really, really showed in this series to me, because the bottom of the Astros lineup is a lot weaker than the bottom of the Yankees lineup. The Astros are very, very top heavy. And the fact that you got big contributions from, and I know he's your leadoff hitter usually, but LeMahieu's not a guy you normally rely on for power, but he can hit homers. Aaron Hicks can hit homers. So they got home runs from kind of unexpected sources to tie some of these games. And, I mean, I predicted Stanton would win the belt and he hit three home runs this series, but I mean, two walk-offs for Judge and you settle your arbitration, I got to give him the belt. And I also like there, I always say there's like poetry in baseball. The fact that this, like, Judge is one of the poster children for people that the Astros hurt by this cheating scandal. Altuve wins the MVP over him and denies him the opportunity to go to the World Series in that 2017 season. So for him to have two walk-offs, I was super stoked about it, especially knowing that he is salty about it. You know, he deleted his Instagram comment a couple of years ago. Like, I was super stoked for him. The walk-off the night before the arbitration hearing, he gets the hearing settled, and then he caps off the weekend with a 3-run walk-off homer. Just awesome. And I also think, like, you know, I was thinking about this when we got into the weekend and they got no hit. And I mean, They were in the toughest stretch of their season. They played Tampa, they went to Toronto, they went to Tampa, and then they played Houston. So they're coming in, and Houston had a day off, I think, earlier. I think they were off last Monday. So, like, Houston's a little bit more rested, probably have a little bit more of their legs under them. The Yankees were getting out of a stretch of playing, you know, 13 consecutive super intense games, division games against the Astros. And I think we were looking at this stretch when we were talking and we're saying, well, what are the Yankees going to do? How are they going to handle this stretch? Because one of the knocks on the Yankees was that, yeah, they're having a great start, but they don't, you know, they're not doing it necessarily against the best of the best. Well, going up against all playoff teams at the time, I don't know if any of them fallen out, Toronto or Tampa Bay, but they went 9-4.
Lose a series.
Yeah, that's a pace to win 112 games. Like, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's not on their 120-win pace that they were on. So, yeah, they played slightly worse. I'm sorry. But that's crazy. And it's not like it was all games at Yankee Stadium. They went to the Trop, where they always have trouble. Toronto is always a tough place to play in. And then they split with Houston. And you know what? They lost that game. They lost against Verlander. That game could have went either way. I was at that game. The place was jumping. It was juiced. But the Yankees threatened in the eighth inning and in the ninth inning. If they had gotten a hit at a different time in the game, that all of a sudden becomes a tie game. And then you're thinking walk off again. It was a really, really fun game. I actually think in that game, Severino probably should have been taken out after he had the amazing fifth inning escape. It kind of reminded me of the wild card game. I don't know if you feel that way, but you remember in 2018 wild card game in the fourth inning, Severino had to get a big strikeout to get out of the inning. He does like the primal scream and you're thinking he just left it all out there. Like that was him going like, and I kind of felt like that after the fifth inning when he strikes out Altuve to strike out three consecutive batters with runners on first and third, which was absolutely incredible. I would not have brought him back out. He winds up giving the three run homer, whatever. Team's on pace to win 120 games. I'm not going to argue with Aaron Boone right now. But I mean, I thought that game could have as easily went to the Yankees as well. And then we're talking about a 3-1 and we're more excited. So I actually think this was a really good series for the Yankees. They went toe to toe with Houston and they showed them like in October, you better bury them because you can be up 3-0 in the ninth. You can be up by 6-3 in the ninth inning. You can be up 3-0 in the seventh inning. This game's not over. This team just keeps coming at you.
Yeah, I think you mentioned Friday's game and another, and honestly, Saturday's was too, even though they got no hit, but it's the weekend.
Gallo came within 5 feet of giving them the lead.
Exactly. He flew out right to the wall. LeMahieu came up Friday night with, I think he came up as the winning run in the ninth inning when he grounded out to third to end the game.
Yeah. Yep.
So, I mean, they were right there. I absolutely come away from this series encouraged, but back to Friday and Saturday, and then obviously you can throw Sunday in there too. But you know, Tyone aside, the rotation, which everyone is kind of wondering, you know, how long can they keep this up? How good really is this rotation? I mean, they, like you said, the Astros lineup is top heavy, but as a whole, that's an incredibly dangerous lineup. The top of their lineup is among the best in baseball, and the rotation aside from Tyone did really well. Cortes was never going to pitch to a 1.5 ERA for an entire season. But if he can give you five innings and allow three runs against an Astros team in a playoff series, you would absolutely take that. I would. And then you had Cole, who was brilliant. Severino, probably left in a little bit too long, like you said. I mean, obviously Boone's done a terrific job, but I think this is something that stretches back beyond this year. Sometimes Boone tries to steal an out or two towards the end of a starter's day, and you know, maybe that happened a little bit on Friday, but as a whole, I thought the rotation did great. Severino looked good, got out of some trouble. Cole was his usual self, just like he was dominant against Tampa Bay. So I thought it was a super encouraging performance from the pitching staff as a whole, outside of maybe Tyone. But it showed you that, you know, the rotation was the Yankees' most glaring weakness the last time they faced the Astros in the 2019 ALCS. I think everybody thought if the Yankees had another quality arm or two in the rotation that they could have taken that series and gotten to the World Series. I think coming out of this series left me with a lot of confidence that the Yankees absolutely have, and obviously we already knew the rotation was fantastic. Look at the numbers they've been putting up. But this series made me really confident that the Yankees are, if they were to face the Astros in another seven game series, that they would be in every game because of the rotation.
Yeah, I mean, it would probably go seven because these teams are really evenly matched, but the Yankees have that advantage in the bullpen, and I think they have the advantage in the depth of their lineup. And The Yankees, the awesome thing about the Yankees rotation is they all have guys that at any time can go toe to toe with whoever you throw out there. So it reminds me a lot of the 96, 98, 99 teams. Like it's that kind of thing. So you know what? You get in a 7-game series and you go Cole Verlander. Would you be shocked if the Yankees went 2-0? Absolutely not. Would you be surprised if they went 0-2? Probably the same, because Verlander is a great pitcher. Even at 38, it was awesome to watch him do what he did. Like, you know, make the jokes about who's got the dog in them. Verlander is like one of the original dogs. You know, he's awesome to watch pitch, man. It's painful, but it's also like, as a baseball fan, you have to respect it.
I just meant it's painful in the sense that I wish the Yankees got him in 2017 and he was being dogged for the Yankees.
That stinks. I really wanted them to get him when he signed his 2-year deal. I mean, just, dude, he's awesome. But yeah, I think you get a split against the second best team in baseball when you're the best team. And the Yankees were kind of worn down at the end of the stretch. I think maybe if you had a couple rest, like a rest day before the series started, Boone might go to that bullpen earlier in that Severino game. You don't know. And I thought that was a big start for Sevy. I know he gave up 3 runs, but he went 5 scoreless, was pitching great, got out of some big jams. And you know what? I know Nestor gave up 5, but the events leading up to that, you know, he gave up kind of an infield single, I think it was. And then the bloop single is what drove in. He gave up, you know, one hard hit ball, a double, and, you know, that happens. But I think, I think it was positive signs against a really good lineup, and really, really happy with how the Yankees came out of this 13 game stretch. I think it was a little tense going into it, and we're excited coming out of it. Like, I think we proved far and away we're the best team in the division. And I think we also shown like it's probably going to come down, and you never know because the playoffs are a crapshoot, but it's going to come down to Yankees Astros again. And now everything's on the table. In 2019, it was just a rematch. Now it's going to be a rematch knowing what was going on. It's going to be super intense if we get there, man. It's going to be awesome.
I hope it does. I think this would be a fantastic – I mean, in all honesty, it would be more preferable if the Astros get stunned in the playoffs somewhere else, and maybe the Yankees face a somewhat inferior team. But I mean, if it did come to Yankees Astros, I would be super pumped up. It would be an incredible series. But you know, another note on Nestor too, we were worried that maybe his, you know, ability to miss bats was regressing because he was among the league leaders in strikeouts per 9 innings, which is wild for someone that averages 93 miles an hour. But I thought it was super inspiring to see him get 7 strikeouts over 5 innings in his start on Sunday and show that he still does have that ability. I think it's natural for a lot of people to look at Cortez, and anytime you see something that's not his, you know, a continuation of his surprisingly brilliant season, and he starts to slip up a little, everyone's kind of just waiting for the other shoe to drop and that regression to start. But I think Cortez also showed in flashes against a really good lineup that he still could be among the game's elite. So 3 runs over 5 innings, 7 strikeouts. I would take it, especially with the bullpen that the Yankees have. I mean, the starting pitching has helped keep the bullpen rested for so much this season because of the length they've been able to give. So it's nice to know that in the event that doesn't happen and the starting pitchers don't give you a lot of length, which could happen a lot in the postseason. I mean, you have more off days, and obviously everything is, the tension is just so much higher that the leashes are going to be shorter. So you know that you'll have not just a rested bullpen, but a deep and super effective bullpen that could come in and bail out a starter after 4 or 5 innings, and know that you're probably going to have the advantage throughout the second half of the game.
The Yankees are 22-20. This is via Katie Sharp. 22-20 when leading at any, when trailing at any point in the ball game. That's incredible.
Crazy. Yeah.
That's absolutely nuts that they
have to be the best in the league.
Oh yeah. Yeah. They have a winning record when at one point in the game they're losing. That's just wild. But the bullpen work was tremendous. And, you know, it started on Thursday night with, you know, Castro getting some big outs to keep that game a 3-run game and enable Hicks to hit the big home run. But there were some really big moments in the series. The Hicks homer, the Judge walk-off, the Stanton homer in game 1, game 2, the Sevy strikeout of Altuve just with everything that's happened, that was an incredible moment. I felt, and maybe because I'm there, I was a little juiced up. I was pretty excited about that. And then obviously yesterday, the LeMahieu home run and then the Judge home run. What ones are you going back to on YouTube? Like, what are your top moments you're watching from the series? What ones do you think you'll rewatch the most moving forward? Because this series gave us a lot of moments that are going to be in the World Series video, God willing.
Oh man, it was so I was at a bachelor event this weekend in Charleston, so I tuned in as much as I could, but we left at like 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning on Friday morning. So I was trying to stay up and I passed out in the eighth inning on Thursday night, which of course was the worst time for that to happen. But then I woke up and saw like our family group chat had blown up and everyone was going crazy. So I watched that Judge highlight at least five times on the drive down to South Carolina, we tried to rewind the Odyssey app to listen to the ninth inning, but it wouldn't work for some reason. So we did it once we got there. And then Sunday we were out golfing and then we got back to see the end. But then when everyone was like getting ready to go to dinner later, I popped the MLB app on the TV in the living room and just replayed the LeMahieu and Judge home runs like another four times. I would say probably the two most played for me would be the Hicks and LeMahieu home runs. Those game tying home runs were like electric. Obviously the Judge walk off is incredible, but I don't know, just LeMahieu's like Giancarlo strut out of the box with, I just thought was so cool. And then the Hicks home run. I mean, I'm just, you know, you're happy for him because he's struggled a lot this season and has dealt with a lot of criticism, a lot of warranted criticism because he was playing so poorly, but now he's been playing well and you're happy to see it. And he gets that huge clutch hit. And of course, you know, has not been good with runners in scoring position for the majority of his career, but just to hit that, like no doubter like that was pretty cool. So I don't know, if I had to pick, I'd probably say the Hicks one was the highlight of the series for me. I mean, I think that's the game of the year would be that Thursday night win. You know, everyone's amped for this series and everyone thinks it's going to be a huge battle. And all of a sudden the Astros tee off for, you know, 2-3 run home runs in the first three innings. And you're like, oh man, is this going to get ugly? Like, is at least for this first game, not thinking that for the series, but the Yankees answer right back in the first. And then obviously the ninth inning was pretty incredible. So yeah, I think the highlight of the series for me is the Hicks bomb.
Yeah, I agree that something about the night game homer too, it just always feels like a little, like I would go Hicks and then the Judge home run. And then I would put LeMahieu. But yeah, those game tying home runs are always clutch. But obviously I think with everything that's gone on with Hicks, everything we've said about Hicks, like you always have that in the back of your mind when there's a player struggling up in a big spot, you're like, this is going to be like that moment. Like everybody's going to go crazy. And you know, it usually doesn't work out. It's baseball. You got a low chance of success, but when it does, it feels so special. And yeah, that was definitely a get off the couch moment. Clap your hands. Pretty awesome. I've rewatched it. I love the videos that Yankees are posting of the behind, like from the on deck circle.
Yeah, those are great.
Oh man, just that is just beauty. That watching a lefty launch a ball like that out to right field, it's the best. They should get the reverse camera angle though for the right-handed hitters.
Yeah, I would love to see that judge view on some of those walk-offs. I think that'd be great. I mean, also that walk-off on Thursday, you know, you go ahead 3-0 and he gives you another off-speed pitch and you still have the confidence to
I was screaming away. Green light. I was all in.
Of course Judge gets the green light, but you know, an off-speed pitch, you can tell he wasn't, you know, exactly expecting the off-speed pitch because he was a little early on it, but still managed to keep it fair. I mean, that was awesome. Obviously, if anyone can turn on a 3-0 breaking ball and still come through, it's Judge, who's one of the best hitters in the league.
He said it after his walk off yesterday. He's the best player on the team. So love that confidence. He's got to cash in on it now. But
I mean, it's not even confidence. It's just realism. It's not even a competition.
That is true. But yeah, I mean, awesome. Just the awesome bookends, and then obviously the Yankees get you kind of touched on all the games except the no hitter, and you know, it was whatever. They got no hit. It's happened before. You know, when they got hit, no hit in 03, I think they went on a pretty big winning streak right after that. I know. I actually think the game they got no hit, the next game was Clemens' 300th win.
Well, after that, after they got no hit that year, they went on, I can't remember the numbers, but they went on an absurd run of like 20 something games over 500 over their next 30 something games. I can't remember what it was, but the, you know, that 2003 team was dominant in the regular season. They came two wins shy of a World Series title. So I don't know. I just like we like at the Bachelor weekend, some of my fellow Yankee fans and like friends from growing up are just wired in that negativity. And they're like, oh, like this is going to ruin morale. Like this is like, okay, it's one game. No hitters. Obviously they're cool to see, but they're not, I don't know. They're not crazily uncommon. Like no hitters happen. In my opinion, combined no hitters are even carry a little less weight for me. Like they're cool. I just don't think a combined no hitter is crazy special. And I would feel that way. Yankees too. Like I would think it was a really cool moment, and obviously, I mean, Javier was dominant. He was he was awesome. But I don't know. The combined no hitter doesn't do it for me as much as a one man show.
I agree because you get that third time through the order, and I know you know Javier pitched really well. It wasn't like a combined no hitter where the starter goes four innings and then you just have like four other guys come in and combine for it. But I feel the same way, and I mean freaking teams have been no hit in the postseason. Don Larson threw a perfect game in the World Series. That doesn't mean like the Dodgers got perfect gamed in the World Series. They were a World Series team and they had a perfect game thrown against them while they were in there. So it's not like it disqualifies you from being.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A team that reaches the World Series, as I said, I think it was 58, 52, and then 03 are the last three times the Yankees have been no hit. And they won the World Series both times in the 50s. And then obviously in 03 went to the World Series. And you know what? David Wells doesn't hurt his back. Jason Giambi doesn't have a bad hand or whatever it was that was bothering him in Miami. Yeah, he might have won that World Series too.
Yeah, and I mean, look no further than the 2018 Red Sox, who were a one-man show, no hit in 2018, won 108 games and won the World Series. I think baseball players have pretty short-term memories, which you absolutely have to have in a game that's based in, you know, even 70% failure if you're a good player. So the Yankees and any other baseball team is wired that way to where it's not going to affect them. And I also think the crazy thing about the no-hitter is I almost, like, obviously I was aware it was happening while it was going on, but you're also just focused on winning the game because Cole was so good that the Yankees were still in this game. I mean, you're in the bottom of the eighth inning and you have the go-ahead run coming up to the plate while you're being no-hit. The Yankees worked a couple of walks and Gallo came, you know, a few feet short of making it a 3-2 lead, and then all of a sudden the Yankees might win that game. So I don't know. I don't put too much stock in getting no hit. It's a cool moment. I think Javier should definitely be celebrated because he really did look unhittable. But at the same time, you know, even coming out of the next Sunday game where the Yankees are struggling on offense again, just to show that kind of fight late in the game and to come back and win it kind of shows you that this is a different team, and they do have that short-term memory, and they're not going to let one bad loss, you know, derail what's been a historic season. And they showed you why they're one of the best teams in baseball by beating a really good team the day after getting no hit.
I think what's pretty cool too is you can see the Yankees are, I don't want to say scuffling because they're winning games, but you can see they're a little bit off compared to how they were, like, let's say a month ago. Rotations have, there's just little cracks in the rotation. It could be fatigue. It could just be, you know, the league's catching up to them. A couple of hitters aren't, you know, Judge hasn't been performing at the level he was a month ago. You know, you have Donaldson's not really hitting, but there's still, you can't put them away. Like they're not even playing at the peak of their powers right now. And they're still going toe to toe with the second best team in the league. So, I mean, to me, that's really exciting. The team they find ways to win. They find ways to bounce back, right? They go down. This is a big series. They're down 6-3. They win the game. They get no hit. They're losing the next game 3-0 in the seventh. They win the game. So you can't bury these guys, even when they're not playing well and you have the lead, you can't bury them. It's pretty freaking incredible. I absolutely love it. And speaking of burying things, I don't know if you have anything else on the game, but I mean, Yankee fans, like, let's just boo Altuve. We can kind of rein it in a little bit with all the vulgarities. I was at the game on Friday, man. I would not bring if I had a child to that game. I'll say that. It was wild. You know, I'm mad about what happened with the Astros. You know that. But, you know, we could just kind of keep it to a little bit more tame, I feel like. I think we're going to let the winning play out in the end. I don't know if you feel a way about that, but I was just kind of like, all right, that was pretty intense.
Yeah. Also, at the, you know, obviously, we don't really know. Well, maybe never will know exactly what happened, but there have been multiple reports and accounts by other people that say Altuve just genuinely didn't want to receive signs that were being stolen. So it's interesting how he became the face of the Astros cheating scandal in the eyes of many Yankee fans. Which, you know, I guess it's understandable because he is the one who, you know, took the MVP from Judge in 2017, and he's the one who ended the 2019 ALCS. So it does make sense to me from that standpoint. But yeah, I mean, I was at the game not that long ago. They weren't even playing the Astros, and this, you know, F. Altuve chant started, and I was like, why? Like, what are we accomplishing here? Let's use our energy on winning this game. So yeah, no, I'm sure it was wild, and they weren't holding anything back in the Bronx. But no, yeah, me too. Personally, I prefer an incredibly hostile environment based just purely on like noise, you know, like,
yeah, you can do a little Houston sucks. I'm okay with that. But you know, like that's it. That's all you got to do. Boo ferociously.
Yeah. And also just cause like it gets, I don't know, in my opinion, like gets kind of old. I'm like, okay, now we're just like holding on to this thing from 5 years ago. Like, we have the best team in baseball. Why don't we just like enjoy this?
You don't want them renting space in your head. But speaking, I mean, look, we split with them. I think we kind of had two back-breaking wins, one back-breaking loss. And, you know, we come out of it just the same as we left with them, which is seven games better. So that we just killed off some time, basically. And we play them again later this week. But, you know, we'll put them behind us for now. And we got the Billy Beans Oakland Athletics coming to town. Oh, they're not Billy Beans Oakland team anymore.
That's right. And again, if you like what you're hearing, and please rate, review, and subscribe. We will always recap and preview every series twice a week before and after every series. But yes, the Yankees do have the A's coming to town now. They are, a complete and utter embarrassment. They are, in my opinion, somewhat detrimental to Major League Baseball as a whole because they are just so actively trying to put together a terrible roster and get out of Oakland, presumably, whatever it is, but they are certainly not trying to win. They're probably going to unload Frankie Montas soon at some point. So this is, that's just a long-winded way of saying the A's suck and the Yankees should do some damage against them. And that would be starting with Thursday night with Montgomery on the mound.
Yeah. I mean, and you know, you want to see Monty really hold down this terrible, because the starting pitching's okay, right? Their starters are fine.
Yeah, they have Paul Blackburn going on Thursday night against Montgomery, and he has a 2.97 ERA. And yeah. He's pitched 75 and two-thirds innings, so you know he's not going to overpower you. He only has 55 strikeouts in that span, but still a good pitcher. And you know, it could be another close game where the Yankees just have to wait it out and go to the battle of the bullpens. And then you have Montas going in game two also. So I mean, yeah, I mean, Oakland does have a pair of solid pitchers going in the first two games, but I mean the offense is just dreadful.
Yeah, this is an opportunity for the rotation to get back on track, and you know, Monty struggled a little bit against the Rays last time out, and right, didn't he? Yeah,
I think so. I mean, I don't think it was.
Yeah, terrible. He gave what, four runs.
Yeah,
yeah.
And that's right, so that's honestly not a great Rays lineup either.
Yeah. So and then you know you'll have the opportunity to get Tyone, and then Seve, I guess, will probably be pitching on Wednesday. So I know they're talking about maybe going a six man, but you know we'll cross that bridge when we get there. But I you know hopefully the rotation just holds this team down. The Yankees can put up a few runs here, and then get back to Houston. But really, you just don't want it to be a letdown series with the Houston game looming at the end. It's kind of, you know, Houston, Oakland, Houston, those Oakland games, you know, you might overlook or whatever. So we'll see, but you know, they got through that tough stretch well. So you hope the Yankees just kind of pile on here against a team that's 24 games under.
Yeah. There's no other way to put it. They're a bad team that's coming cross country for what's probably another draining trip. So the Yankees should take advantage. But like we said, all three starters are solid for Oakland in this series. Even Cole Irvin going in the series finale has a 3.29 ERA and 68 in the third innings. Another guy that's not going to blow you away. It's only 47 strikeouts in that span. But so Oakland does have some good pitchers going. It's, you know, it could turn into some low scoring games, but if the Yankees don't come away with at least two of three, that would obviously be a disappointment. And if the starting pitching gets knocked around in any way, that would be a massive disappointment too, because this Oakland lineup is very, 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 very bad.
Yeah, I think we've been able to explain away everything that's happened with the rotation, just looking a little bit more human and not superhuman. But this is the opportunity for them to kind of get back on track. And we'll see. We have this, and then, you know, the weird one stop in Houston, and then the Guardians, and then we finally get a day off.
Yeah, it'll be much, much earned. But in the meantime,
wait, I have a question. I have a question. We should answer this on the podcast so our listeners know. Are we doing a one series review of the next Houston game, because they play one game against the Astros? Maybe we could just do like a quick, yeah, like 10-minute discussion on that game, if it's a good game.
But we can do a quick reaction pod. How about that?
That sounds good to me.
For the one game. All right, but back to these three games against the A's. I think we agree that Judge gets the belt for the last series. When you hit two walk-offs in a four-game series, you
and get your contract.
Earn that. And yes, and got his contract.
Well, it's his one-year contract, not the big one.
Not the one we're still waiting on. But so who gets the belt against Oakland?
I'm gonna go with Rizzo. I'm just gonna take Rizzo.
Okay, I will piggyback off your pick from last series and take, you took Stanton last series, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take Stanton. It seems like he's heating
on
up.
One.
Yeah, running to a couple home runs this series, so I am feeling good about Stanton. Certainly looks like he's getting back to the pace he was on before his injury. So going with Stanton, and hopefully he goes off. Hopefully it's another series win for the Yankees when we return later this week.
And hopefully we get Gleyber back. I haven't really said anything else yet, but wasn't a break, so that's good. I know I saw someone tweet they were worried about IKF's finger after the bunt, so trying to find out more tonight.
Yeah, well, I mean, in terms of Torres, Boone said that he was calling it a mild ankle sprain, so hopefully it's nothing major. He's actually been struggling at the plate again recently, so maybe a few days off could even help and get him healthy, get him back to slugging. But in the meantime, we will talk to everybody after this series. Make sure you rate, review, and subscribe. We'll be back soon to recap this series and look ahead to the next one. Well, it'll be one game, but it'll be an interesting one this week. But we will be here for it and hope you will be too.
Talk to you later, everybody. Let's go Yanks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly!